ما بكمس هيك تقلب شوي اوكي. So we have to embark upon a brand new sugya. So of course the underlying theme of the last couple of weeks, if you haven't noticed, was we've been trying to define ksiva. We had to spend a little bit of time defining bechiko also, because the relationship between the two of them. But our basic goal since the beginning of this month has always been to define ksiva. And we've seen that ksiva, the very, very esoteric halachic concept, and it's so basic, so critical, it impacts on Hilchos Shabbos, and it impacts, of course, on Gittin, that's how we got it in the first place, it impacts on Sefer Torah, Tehillim, Mezuzos. So it's something that really, really is an important halachic concept to define properly. And we spent a lot of time talking about ksiva from the vantage point of the diyot that you use, kayom, not kayom. We spoke a lot about ksav, and some of the possible differences between Gittin and Shabbos, etc. Now we come on to a new dimension of ksiva, and that is the notion of, I have a ksiva. I have a background. Remember, we weren't even sure what role backgrounds play, but I have a background, and I have Dio. I have all elements necessary to create a ksiva in halacha. One small technical problem. I can't read the letters. You know why? Because they are covered by something. What are they covered with? Depending on which part of the sugya of the Maamar comes here up to. Either because the letters are covered by the parchment itself, because I figured out some really, really grandiose way of getting the letters inside the cloth or inside the paper. So they're there, but they're not quite legible, at least not now. So that's one kind of ksav shein anira. Then you have other kinds of ksav shein anira, not that they're covered by the paper, by the background proper. The letters are there, but they're superimposed, covered by something artificial, something such as wax, maybe other items that now make the letters right now not legible. So although these are two different applications of this principle, and the answer may not necessarily be the same in both, I lump both of these sugyas together really into one, because they're both manifestations of the principle of ksav she'eino nira. So the question really is, just how important is it that the letters be actually legible? How important is it that the letters are conveying a message that one can actually read now? Or is somehow covered and hidden in letters and somehow under something else, some other mysterious covering, someone can also qualify as a ksiv in halacha? That's pretty much what our sugya is all about. So the sugya begins, the first in the Maamar Kormos, a very, very cryptic statement of Shmuel. So we start with Sechaz Gittin. So Gittin of Yitesavet is Amma Shmuel. Nasa laniach halach v'avla reza gitech. So a person gives a blank piece of paper to his wife. Now, that's a little bit of a subjective statement. It means it appears to us to be a blank piece of paper. And he says to her, "Reza gitech." So obviously by saying "Reza gitech," he's informing us that no, there really is a get here. So Shmuel makes this probably one of the most startling statements of the entire Masechta. To be gracious, the get's fine, no problem, everything's great. Oh, stop. We spent 6 months talking about Chosov Law, Sefer Kursus, for some other way. We talk about Eide Chasime, Eide Mesira, Leshvacha. This is great. There's nothing. A blank piece of paper. Does it get? No, says yet. Why? Chayshinan Shev Memilin Kosvo. Because we are afraid that the get may be written in such a thing as Memilin, which would make it, that kind of ink would make it not able to be read. Because the cloth itself is treated with Memilin, and Memilin got Memilin, a whole sugya that somehow the words are there, we just quite can't see them. So the Afushpo says, no problem, the get is perfectly okay. Chashinan Shav Memilin Kosvo. Now, even the very wording of Shmuel is very, very cryptic, because of course the word Chashinan seems to stick out like a sore thumb. Usually Chashinan means that it's not really a problem. Everything's really okay. But on the off chance that there's a problem, chashinan will be a little more machmir. Here, Shmuel is using the word chashinan to say the woman's been married. She can remarry. Don't worry about Eish Azish. Don't worry about that. That's just fine. We're bechenek. Everything's hunky-dory. You know why? Because we're hanging a hat on the fact that Shemim and Milim Kosvel. So that's already a loaded statement. What, how did Gemara even think that's what Shmuel actually meant? But what Shmuel did or didn't say in that first line, it's not going to last for very long. So finally, the Gemara eventually comes and says that what Shmuel didn't exactly mean what it sounds like, that it's just simply a blank piece of paper, just like that. That's ridiculous. A blank piece of paper is not a get. So the Gemara at the end of the third line says, what it means is, Kigama Shmuel, but Kiran Leib Maya Denora. There is some kind of a secret way of testing whether there are actually letters somehow in the deep recesses of this cloth that are not, don't seem to be visible. Now again, whether we're going to put it to some kind of solution, we're going to put it up to the light. So a little bit unclear what exactly this test is, but someone in the chem lab is going to tell us that there's a way for us to test that there is actually something there. And that's what Shmuel meant to say. Epol et polet. So if at some point the letters will come out, now again, this whole thing is so unclear. We're about as clear as the letters themselves are. That this is going to come out. Does that mean it's going to come out into some solution and we're not going to see it again? We're going to see black coming out? Or as Epolet means, it's going to come out with big bold letters saying, how are you? So also very, very unclear what is going to happen, but something's going to happen. So says the Gemara, if something happens, then everything's great. And Epolet, and if nothing happens after this grandiose chemistry experiment, so that'll turn out that this whole thing was a fake. He was pulling a leg and he gave her a blank piece of paper. So then it's not going to be good. So at the end of the day, Shmuel didn't give us this, statement that, give your wife a blank piece of paper, that's cool, that's great, and we're going to be convinced that there's a get there. No. He's going to need a lot of work after 3 o'clock. We're going to keb lab, we're going to put on our coats, put on our goggles, we're going to have to like take this very seriously. And we're going to figure out if it's readable based on this polot. So then and only then will we declare the woman to be Megoresh. That's what Shmuel finally said. So that was the background. Now the sugya starts. So yes, the Gemara. The chipolot mehavi. And even if it's polot, even zozain, that, let's get the timeline, it's clear. 12 o'clock in the afternoon, he hands him this piece of paper. Lefira eis einenu. It's blank. And he says, Haret mutas cholam, he's a gitech at 12 o'clock. So we were rabbanim, we don't know, from chemistry, before 3 o'clock, we know it's gitin, but we're rabbi back from 10th grade chemistry. So we're looking at the paper. It's like a blank piece of paper. So it's like a joke. It's a farce. Wait a second, there's one guy there who majored in chemistry, and he says, oh, wait a second, rabbis, listen to this. He said, don't discard that get. Don't think that gets there's a chance I could save that get. The rabbi said, what are you joking? He said, come on, there's nothing there. It's a blind piece of paper. No, you don't know. If you put this thing into a solution of hydrogen, daka, paka, puka, 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 with 6.29 milliliters, and then all of a sudden it's going to show up in big, bright letters, like I said, right with us, cholodom. So we're going to say, come on, we don't believe that. I said, come on, rabbi, you got to get more with the times, a little more modern, come on, a little teramadia, come on. We could do it. So, okay, good. We'll listen to the upstart, chemistry majors. And we go to the lab. And lo and behold, they're right. And it says in big, bold letters, Rabbi Chos Lodom. So what does Shmuel say? She's a big rashes. Ask the Gemara, what kind of joke is that? V'chi polet mehav. At the time that the get was written, what was the problem? It was visible. So at the time that the get was written, if it wasn't visible, so the fact that even though it's there and it's going to be able to determine it, we're going to see it loud and clear in front of our eyes in an hour from now, but right now, Bashir Hashem, Bishas, the Sidus Aget, what was it, Rabbi Yisai? A blank piece of paper, Api Alocha. Why? Because the Alocha is not Mesiachay, so it's inside the paper. What we don't see doesn't register. And therefore, the Chosav Lose, the Krisus Fenosav Beyodah, the time of the Nasi, there has to already be a Ksiva. There's no Ksiva yet. And therefore, the get is botla mavut lo shav lo chayim v'deraisa. That's linked to the Gemara's kasha, chipolot behavi. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Shmuel nami chashirin koma. Shmuel never really said it's a good get. Shmuel said, maybe it's a good get. And thus, the sugya ends. Ad kan, the sugya. So what do we know from the sugya, they say? About defining sav. What do we know loud and clear? What defines ksav? Is it enough that there's something physically there? There's something theoretically, scientifically there? Clearly, that's not enough. Why? Because the Gemara asked the question, v'chipol behavi. So, lichta that kash, v'chipol behavi, the game's over. That just because it will be piloted an hour later, that's meaningless. So, im kain, that it was so posh to the Gemara, v'chipol behavi, so what did the Gemara mean to back? So, what does Shmuel mean? So, what was his chashash? What was he afraid of? You read the Gemara, you realize that there's some internal steer in the Gemara. If the Gemara was so sure, Chipol Behavi, that the definition of ksiva means it has to be legible by Sheo Sham. So what was the chashinon? So who comes to the rescue in this one, Rabbi say? Rashi. What does Rashi say? Who was Rashi say? Gotta open up the Gemara, actually. No, what does Rashi say? Rashi said it? Not my Rashi. What did Rashi say? Chashiran Shemo Nivlu Yafe. What does Rashi say? In the last Rashi, when it says Hashtu the Palat, Rashi said with conviction, that's the din. What's Balua's Nishkingsa? The Chashinan is maybe we were careless. Maybe if we would have put on our reading glasses, you know, we're looking at it with our distance, our driving glasses. We can't see a thing with our driving glasses. So we're looking at it, the three Rabbanim, they're old, they're 95 years old, they can occasionally see, they don't see. Maybe if they would look a little more carefully, they would realize, Taka, what? It is there. Now when you put it into the solution, all of a sudden it comes bold in big red letters, here I am, Baruch Abu, Harei Avotesu Chalodom. So Rashi says that Lu Yitzuyer, we would know that there's no ksav there, b'shum panim v'ofen, there's no ksav there. If we really, really were diligent, then we knew how to look at it really, really carefully, and there's taka no ksav there. So Zozan, there's no ksav there, so there's no ksav. It gets bachlum v'utlum in the Torah. The only concern of Shmuel was that maybe we erred in our assessment of no ksav being there. Shemelo nivlu yofe. And that's the reason why Shmuel said, we're going to be chayshes again. Chayshish doesn't mean we're going to be matar to get married. Chayshish is going to mean what? Two ramifications of chayshish, says Rashi. One is a surah l'koy. If the person who gave it to get was a kohen, then he's in a big pickle because he just gave his wife a sofer get. And therefore, there's a sofer is their eyes marrying a grusha now. He cannot remain married to her. So now he better give her a good get this time. Not one that has to be under chemistry evaluation. And number two is v'chaletzes v'lomis yabemis. What if all of a sudden, in the middle of this whole thing, right at 12 o'clock, he gives us this funny kind of a get? 1 o'clock, we do our experimentation. And then 2 o'clock, what happens? No. The husband dies with no children, and she falls for Yibum. So I would have said, no big deal, there was no get, it was nothing. And therefore, what should this wife do? Let her do Yibum. We can't let her do Yibum. Because on the far-fetched chance that this get was valid, it turns out she's no longer his wife. What is she? She's now Grushas Ochiv. What's the din of Grushas Ochiv? There is no what? There is no Zika. There is no Yibum. There is no Chalitza. If somebody marries Grushas Ochiv, even though his brother subsequently died, small technicality, that's an Issachoros. That carries with the Mamzerus. So that's Eishas Ochiv. She lebi makam Yibum. She lebi makam Mitzvah. That's a disaster. So therefore Rashi says that when Shmuel said Chashid and Shabaget, there are two ramifications of that. There's a suffix, Lagavi, the Kayin can no longer remain married to his suffix Rusha. And number two, it makes Chaletzah Slomit. We have to Chalitza because maybe Shitecha is a Kugalibim. So those are the two Chumras. That's how these Chumras are going to manifest themselves, Lamaisa. But the nature of the suffix, according to Rashi, is Shemel and Nivlu Yafa. So if you had a coin of phrase to describe what kind of a suffix that is, we have a lot of sphakis in life. There are some sphakis that we have sphakis in Mitzias, and sometimes there are sphakis in Halacha. Somebody that guy calls a rabbi, calls me to Shah, says, Rabbi, I don't know what to do. So I ask, tell me what's the story. He gives me a whole story. So very often, the sphakis can be broken down into one of two kinds. Either it's a sphakis in Mitzias, that we just push on what the facts are. So now what do you do when you don't know what the facts are? And sometimes we have all the facts in front of us, we don't know what the din is. That's a sphakis in Halacha. There's different kinds of sphakis. So according to Rashi, this is clearly a what? It's come and see us. We know all the facts. We know all the halachas. The halachas is a ksav that's nearer, even a little bit is a ksav. A ksav that's not near at all is not a ksav altogether. We just not quite sure whether this is meets, which of those two criteria meets. However, unlike Rashi, I'm sorry, I have a question, yeah. So the Gemara explains it. Because the Gemara eventually explains that Shmuel not mechashidim ka'amar. You can't blame Rashi. The Gemara says that. The Gemara says when Shmuel said mechashidim, he didn't really mean it. He meant chashidim mechashidim. It can't be he meant it really. It's impossible they meant it really. So notwithstanding Rashi's pshat, Now we say Rashi's Pshat, Rabbeinu Kreskis, the second of the Marmakomis, had a very, very different version conceptually what's going on in this sugya. Says Rabbeinu Kreskis, Uparkinon, Shmuel Nabachshin, come a Kloimar. You know when you see that word, we're in trouble. Shmuel, Vadei lo misafkele de get Vadei hu. There's a lot of words in that sentence. But what it means is that, of course, Shmuel never meant to say it's a real get. Don't think that the get is really good. What would have led us to believe that? Because the husband's saying it is, and we don't know. So don't say that, Pshat. Ella, the misaf galei iksav muvlav iksav olo. What's the suffix of Shmuel? What don't we know, Rabbi Yisai, according to Rabbeinu Kreskis? We don't know what the ksav muvla called the ksav or not. What kind of suffix is that? It's a halachic suffix. According to Rabbeinu Kreskis, we know there's nothing on the paper, at least externally. Take off your reading glasses. Take off your distance. Put in your reading glasses. Take a look at guys with 20/20 eyesight. Look, there's nothing there. So maybe we missed it. Good morning, we missed it. It's not there, that's why we missed it. So of course it's not legible externally. We know that if it's there, it's internally. But we're not sure, says Rabbeinu Kreskis. Is that called Iksavana? Api Alocha, we don't know what the din is. So that's quite a different picture, quite a different presentation of the sugya. Now, at the end, you're going to end up with the exact same ramifications. Namely, if this shayla comes from Rabbeinu Kreskis is based in Barcelona, it's going to come up with the same psak as Rashi's psak from Troyes. They're going to say the exact same thing. One's going to say it in French, one's going to say it in Spanish, but they're going to give the exact same psakim. What's it going to be? If you're a kohen, what? You're in a pickle. And if you die, then your wife is chaletz lo mishe b'emes. So in the end, they're both going to end up with the suffix yet, but the nature of the suffix is going to be radically different. One's a suffix in Betzias, one's going to be a suffix in Halacha. If you want to get really, really fancy, which we're not going to now, and you want to bring back memories of Baba Basra, so it may be important to know, is there a suffix in Betzias, suffix in Halacha? Because this woman has a cheskas what? Cheskas eshizishon her. And some of you may remember that according to some, you don't say chazokas when you have sveikas in what? In halachas. Remember that before chazokas tan hadin days from last year? Okay, we're not going to talk about that, but just it's food for thought. Okay, everybody say, back to our story. But there is another pshat in this Gemara. From Ben Chananel, the Ramban, the third of the Maimonides. Ben Chananel says, Ben Chananel says, "Umit mehidon." We are in wondering. That's the Gemara's question. The chipolot, menolam to get to the kosov bay. Just because you did this stunt of being polluted, how do you know that the text that's appearing is a get? Menon the get with the Kosov Bay. Dilman Yana Harina Havakshiv Bay. Food the Polish. Maybe that's what came out. Maybe it said happy birthday in it. The answer is no. Shmuel was afraid. He never really said for sure to get. Maybe it's a get. Maybe it's a get. Maybe it's a birthday card. Maybe it's a happy anniversary card. Maybe it's a graduation gift. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a get. So therefore, the chumra, she can't marry a kohen. She has to chalitz of tzibemus, etc. Ad kan divir Rabbeinu Chananel. Anyone have any idea what Rabbeinu Chananel is talking about? Anyone have a clue what Rabbeinu Chananel is talking about? That's what I thought. I thought we had this blank piece of paper here, right? And we put it into a hydrogen. Do I give you some hydrogen peroxide with a sulfur, zinc, something or other in it? I thought all of a sudden it shows up and it says Yechid b'Shabbes, what a beautiful, perfect get. That's what I thought it meant. And now the Gemara's kasha was, that's true, but v'chipalim b'Havei, it doesn't matter because the Gemara, at least in the question, knew for sure that that's meaningless, that's part b'Havei. And according to Rashi, the answer was the Sufik and Metzias. According to Berchanan, the Gemara's backpedaling, saying, well, maybe up here, Allah, we don't know whether something that's hidden is so partial that's not Aksav. But according to Berchanan, what's the Gemara talking about? You put into the hydrogen the solution something or other, and now all of a sudden, now you don't know what it says. So the Metzias is clearly different to where Berchanan is learning the Gemara, Kamecha Mizuch B'Meir, for Rashi and Menachreskis. What's the Metzias according to Berchanan? What's being polite? Just ink's coming out. I had this blank piece of paper, I think there's nothing in it. I threw it into the hydrogen peroxide, sulfur, chloride, something or other, and all of a sudden, you know what comes out? This black gook comes oozing out of the insides of the kishkas of this letter, of this piece of paper, and I realized, Gewalt! There was something there, and now it's lost for eternity. It's just ink oozing out. It's a different chemical test. It was a different experiment. So whereas in Spain and in France, they had a very, very advanced chemistry student running this experiment. He was the guy who was able to pull off a stunt to actually get to be visible in the North Africa of Rabbeinu Hananel. So they couldn't figure this out. In Rabbeinu Hananel's days, just overdrawn fast, guys. Rabbeinu Hananel's pshat, it was a totally different experiment. Nobody ever planned on seeing any ksav. We just want to see, is there anything there altogether? Which the Gemara then asked, okay, that's wonderful that there's something there, but how do you know that that which is there is a get? To which the Gemara answered, what? We talk, I don't know, it's a suffix. But see, so halacha, what do you think? That's pretty obvious. Matthias, we don't know what to get. That's legamri, a different shot. It's a totally, completely different Matthias. It's a different case, it's a different Matthias, it was a different chashash. The whole thing is different contra Birchanan. What words do not read well according to Ben Chanan? Let's go back to the Gemara for a second. Let's go back. We read Gemaras very carefully. Every word counts in the Gemara. You have to read the words that are there, even the words that are not there. You know, the whole sukkah is about words that aren't there. So you have to read the Gemara really carefully. V'chi polit mehavein hashtehu to polit. What do those words mean? What is hashtehu to polit? What image is that conjuring up?
Like right now.
It means what's happening is happening now, whereas as opposed to when it was in the previous state, that wasn't considered to be ksav. According to Ben Chanano, that has nothing to do with the Gemara. That's not the Gemara's kasha. Bechlal not the Gemara's kasha. Actually, according to Ben Chanano, when it was in the previous state, itaka was what? It was ksav. There's no Gemara that says it wasn't ksav according to Ben Chanano. We just don't know what it said. So what's the Gemara's kasha? It's just a silly kasha. Hashtu the Paul. That's not the kasha. That's the wrong kasha according to Menachem Hanal. So what's the answer? According to Menachem Hanal, how do you read that law in the Gemara? Chipolit may have a hashtu to polit. What's the answer? You don't read it. You know why? It wasn't there. There's no way. Again, guys were accusing me the other night of academic Talmud and stuff. Like, come on. Guys, you realize Rabbi Rechal didn't have these words, these three words? There's no way he had these three words. It makes absolutely no sense, these three words. Look at how Rabbi Chanan quotes the Look at Rabbi Chanan is a kosov. But behinan v'chipalit. What does that mean? I don't see the next words hashtu the palit. What words are there? Menolan to get to the kosov bay. That's what Rabbi Chanan's Gemara said. V'chipalit mehave, or it could be he just had the words v'chipalit mehave question mark and he didn't have anything afterwards, and he's sticking in those words menolan to get to the kosov bay. So either the Rabbeinu Chananel's Gemara had those words, or they were behind the secret passage. You know, they were hidden. They were inside. Whatever it was, doesn't really matter. One thing, the Rabbeinu Chananel did not. There's no way in the world he had the words Hashta Hudapolit. He doesn't quote those words. So the Gamri, a different pshat in the Gemara. But what is the most fundamental machloikis between Rabbeinu Chananel and all the other Rishonim? What did Rabbeinu Chananel say? Apidin, something fascinating, something profound that the other Rishonim refused to say is what? Yeah, he holds his ksav, 100% ksav. If you had Ruach HaKodesh and you knew with absolute certainty, if Eliyahu Novi would come and say, I'm telling you guys, there's a ksav inside. You can't see it, but it's there. Rebbe Chanan would say, wonderful, she's mugureshes, but Torah's vaday.
Maybe it's just at one point there was
ksav. We're standing there watching the get being written, and we see a blank piece of paper. Rebbe Chanan says that's a good get midaraisa.
Right.
Except we have no way of knowing what it actually says. Well, based on the husband, a nikkabup, he's telling us, but we don't know what he's telling. So Rabbi Say, if I would now stop and ask you the following question. We started the sugya half an hour ago, and we said today's theme is going to be ksav that's not visible, and this is the first manifestation of not being visible because it is inside the deep recesses of the piece of paper. I want to know, I don't care about Metzius right now, I want to know pure halacha, words that are in the deep recesses, the nooks and crannies, if it's inside the paper, completely and totally unreadable to the naked eye. Is that called a pialocha kesev? Is that a ksav or not a ksav? I want three answers to that question. In the world of pure, I don't care about Metzius right now. I want pure halacha.
Yes, maybe.
I got a yes, maybe, and a no. Well, the other way around. Rashi is a definite and absolutely what?
No.
Rabbi Chanan is an absolutely definite yes, and Rabbi Kreskis is an absolute definite maybe. Okay? Everyone saw that? Everyone, who here read the Gemara? It's all within these words of the Gemara. Within this one line of the Gemara. V'hashu the pollet. Rashi or Benachereska said one thing, either B'tar Zvad or B'tar Sofik, Benachal didn't have those words, and therefore he had a total different spirit of the Gemara. You have Machlekes, Benachotzer or Kotzer. Yes, no, or maybe about this very shy. Now, when Hilchos Gittin between you and me, is going to make much of a difference? If in North Africa they can get the more advanced test of France and Spain, they can make a difference. Because if you can somehow figure out a way to test it, that to actually see the words, you know, show up, flash up on the screen, so that according to Ben Chanan, the get will be good. Lagama, she can go remarry based on this get. So that could be an interesting nafkamina, but we're not going to deal with that question right now. I want a real nafkamina, by say. Does anybody really care? At the end of the day, we can't let this woman remarry anywhere. At the end of the day, we got to let her do chalitza. At the end of the day, if she's Aisha's coming, we got to get divorced. Everybody agrees we got sveikus here. You want to call the sveikus metzias halacha, you want to call it a suffix, whether the letters are showing up, not showing up today. At the end of the day, it's not going to make much of a difference, these pshatim. Or will it? Well, Hilchos Gittin probably very little nafkamina. Ooh, now we're talking. What would the din be in the following case? What if I have a blank piece of paper and I do some kind of an unbelievable stunt to get some letters to not to appear, but to become present within the nooks and crannies of that paper? And I may even be able to show that to you, hopefully after Shabbos is over, that they're there. But right now, the fira isay nenu, they're not there. Shabbos comes and goes. I sat down to sing Shalom Aleichem. And before I start singing Shalom Aleichem, I pull off this stunt to get some kind of a letters or something or other to not appear literally, but to become present inside the paper. And then the whole Shabbos goes. And after Havdalah, I show you what I did. Here it is. Voila! Zinc oxide chloride something or other, 2698, and Baruch Hashem, how beautiful I have. 16 letters written there. Was it chayif a kesef or not? So according to Rashi, what's the answer? Absolutely garnish. Garnish. I mean, the rice is zich, it's not kesef. According to Rabbi Kreskis, I have no idea. Maybe yeah, maybe no. Can we bring a carbon chatas for that one? No. Asher Mentoli? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. I have to learn Sugis of Asher Mentoli. According to Rebbe Chanan, what happens to me? What? Chayef Skila, right? So according to Rashi, it's by Mutluch at Chiyuwa. They go to Rebbe Chanan, I'm Chayef Skila. You saw it in this Gemara. That's right. I can't even make a joke. It's not. It's Befeirish. It's not in between the lines. It's mamish in front of your faces. No, everyone realize that right away? Can someone fill in to me what I'm talking about? Is it science fiction? What did I just describe? I forced some letters to appear, not literally appear, but to become present inside the paper in a way that it's not visible, to be determined later. This is, you know what, you guys have no idea what I'm talking about? Because you were all born after the year. Who here was born before 2000? Who here was born before 1995? That's what I suspected, okay? Does anyone besides Mr. Alter and myself remember something from an ancient relic called a camera? Okay? Remember those days? Okay? Can someone please describe to me what a camera does? I don't mean your phone. I don't mean a digital picture. I mean a camera. It's amazing, right?
Wow. Put it in the solution.
It's unbelievable, right? It's a phenomenal concept, okay? So this is what it is. It's basically, you have this box, and it's got a little pinhole in it. So that pinhole gets some of the light that comes in, a very specific amount of light. You know, that complicated all the physics. I don't understand. I never understood it. When I was in elementary school, we used to do these pinhole camera things. It never worked because we all exposed all the film. It was like, it'd take 3 hours in science every week. Basically, what it is you take a piece of paper. That's very special paper, treated with this, that, the other thing, and you, for a split second, expose that piece of paper to light coming at certain angles and something, and the reflection of the light causes on that piece of paper an image to appear that you can't see. Right? Am I right? You can't see it, but it's there. I'll prove to you it's there, because next week, now you have no idea how am I going to get that piece of paper to show. I want to see what's in that piece of paper. You can't do it yourself. You got to bring it over to the pharmacy. Right? Wait about 2 weeks, right? Okay? Until you get this thing, it's called developed. It's called developing film. Now, Ochen Vey, when you took that piece of paper out of your camera, and if you did that in a room where there's light, you killed the whole thing, right? How many times? Remember that? I remember this as a little boy. This was like the highlight, post-vacation. First we take all our pictures, then we come home, and then we go into the bathroom. Remember, father was showing me. Close the lights, close the shades and everything. It was like spooky. And he would open up the camera, right? Right up to, right? Take the film out, put it into this little baggie, which had the special like protective thing to it. And then we would bring it over to the pharmacy. And then about 6 months later, we would see what we saw in everything. That was taking pictures in the 1960s and 70s, right? Pretty much what happened, okay? So I want to know the following, all right? On Friday night, you know, it's so nice. We had a whole Shir Shabbaton. We went together. It was a photo moment, right? A Kodak moment. So somebody comes and takes a picture of us. Just all it meant was leaving out the flash. You know, those are the flash cubes, right? Remember the flash cubes? It only worked in the daylight. By the way, if you're inside or at night, you couldn't take. You didn't have enough light, so you had to have a special artificial. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You ever see a flash cube? Remember flesh? You bought a special thing that went on top, stuck into the camera, and when you pressed it, it turned and it gave a big flash, and that's how you took pictures at night. So you had four. You had four things per flash, and then you had to throw it out, and then you had to get another one. And if you didn't have enough flashes with you, then you just couldn't take pictures at night. That's assuming that your camera was high enough technology to have a flash. Some of the early, when I was a little boy, I had a camera that didn't even have place for a flash, so you could not take pictures at night. And if you tried to, it came out just black. It's unbelievable, mamashness. It was, we're not so old. Okay, anyway. So a guy takes a picture. That surah, no pun intended, on Friday night, what he basically just did was he caused something to be present inside a piece of paper. Can't see it for the life of you the way it is now. You're probably wondering, but it's not letters. Why is this kosev? I'll tell you why, because the Rambam writes drawing pictures is like kosev. It's the same thing. Doesn't matter if you draw a picture, that's the same as writing letters. It's getting across hieroglyphics, it's getting across the message. It's a beautiful picture of the whole Shia. Oh, I know, this is the Shia. So that's called the writing letters. Chayav and Shabbos and Ham. Is that called Kaysev B'Shabbos? So a major, major machlekes, the Gedalia Poskim of the 1960s. Is that called the Maisa Kaysev B'Daraisa on Shabbos? What does it depend upon? Three-way machlekes of Maseches Gittin Daf Yutas. According to Rashi, is that called Kaysev? Nope. According to the Rebbeinu Kresk, is that called Kosev? Maybe. According to Rebbeinu Chazak, Kosev? Chash Kila for that. He has called Kosev. Let's move the question now to the next level. What if I'm that guy who works in the pharmacy? Or I'm really, really advanced and I got my self-developing picture kit. Some people know.
Ammonium thiosulfate. That was the...
That's the developing or that's on the film?
Developing. That's what you dip in.
Okay. what they used to call them, the dark rooms, the black rooms, as I forgot what they used to call them. The dark room, I don't remember what they were called. So some people would like to develop their own pictures, like the science buffs, you know. Guys that do everything themselves. So they would develop in the thigh something or whatever it was, okay? So I take that piece of film and I throw it into that solution on Shabbos. And after a little bit of time, this beautiful picture, the negative appears. If you ever wanted it, by the way, when you would get your pictures back from the pharmacy, so you get the pictures, and they would also come with the negatives. The negatives were the thing that if you ever wanted to make a repeat, double of a picture, if you lost that negative, your parents would kill you because you could never ever make a copy of the picture again. Okay? So Rabbi say, you take that piece of treated film with the letters with the shakua inside the crevices, you throw it into your whatever it was, and now a picture comes out. Are you chayav mishum kasev? So according to Rashi, you chayav mishum kasev? You took something that wasn't ksav, and you made it ksav. We have a name for that. You know what that's called? When you take something like ksav, make it to ksav? That's called kosev, okay? So you just wrote on Shabbos. According to Rabbi Chananel, did you just write on Shabbos?
No.
Nope, because it was there already. You just, it was there already. It was there already. According to Rabbi Kreskes, did you just write on Shabbos? A definite what?
Maybe.
Definite maybe.
Doesn't it matter though that it's not like how it was done in the Mishkan, like actually writing?
Mishkan? What does Mishkan have to do with Shabbos? Mishkan? I don't think it matters.
Can this be similar to what we spoke about with Minchas Chinuch and writing with wedding? That's meaning when you wrote it, it takes a while for the writing to finish.
Just no, but this is the
and with.
No. But here, when I take the picture, if I don't develop it, it's never going to turn into writing. Those malachas are, I did everything humanly possible, and now Kadosh Baruch Hu takes over the rest. Here, if I don't bring it to the store to develop, it's never going to develop. It's not after 20 years it's going to turn into a picture. Yeah, that's a different question. Is there? I didn't mention any other potential. There may be other malachas that are lurking in the background here, but we're just learning kosher. So is anybody enough community? Nobody's taking pictures on Shabbos. Come on, give me a break. Nobody from the Rishon Shabbos taking pictures on Shabbos.
X-rays?
I mean, for what? You want to know, is taking an X-ray deraisa or derabbanan? That's a good question. If we have enough community, how much you have to try to be mishan and have goyim? That could be enough community. It's possible. All right. So I'll ask you the following shalom. A real shalom. Loch lemaisa shalom. The Mishnah says in Maseches Moikotan, that one is not allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed, writing is one of the malachas that's asuras on Chol HaMoed. You're only allowed to write on Chol HaMoed, the Mishnah says, if it's a Dover Oved. Like you're generally allowed to do malachas on Chol HaMoed if they're Dover. Why are you allowed to do malachas on Chol HaMoed if they're Dover Oved? We didn't be state to such a cool Dover Oved, so very modern thing. It's a Mishnah. Why is it? The first Mishnah in Moikotan says that if your field's about to get ruined, you're allowed to irrigate your field. Tu Bishvat, right? Your trees are going to get ruined. You're allowed to fix them up on Chol HaMoed. So what is that based on? It's Malachas. Shabbos and Yom Tov are not allowed to do that. So Dover Oved is Mutar. So there's a big Machlekes in Rishayim. Why is that? So Rabbi Natan said, because the whole list of Malachas Chol HaMoed is all Midrabanan. That the half of Maseches Moikotan deals with the Issa Malachas and Chol HaMoed. Says Rabbi Natan, the whole thing is a Chumim Midrabanan. Midraisa Chol HaMoed is Zman Simcha, Zman Chabr Chagiga. Other things, you can't eat Chabbish, you have to eat the Sukkah. There are a lot of mitzvahs that apply Midrabanan and Chol HaMoed, but the Issa Malachas are all Midrabanan. Therefore, Heimam Veimam Chazal said they don't want to lose money, so therefore they will mount their Dover Oved. But the Rashbam, the older brother of Rabbi Natan, said, no, it's not true. That Malachas Chol HaMoed is an Issa Deraisa. Maybe it's not Malchus, but it's not Mis, okay, but still, it's a Deraisa. And therefore, Lamasar Kosavad Lechacham, but it was given to Meshur Rabbeinu in the following surah. Most Dinim Deraisa were given to Meshur Rabbeinu with very, very exact categories. And Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Meshur Rabbeinu, don't do Malacha. Malacha means Malacha. It's a Mishkan, these 39 Malachas. So any one of these 39 Malachas is a Torah violation. The Chum didn't make up the Malachas. The Chum just figured out what was Malachas and Mishkan. Sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a mitzvah, Lamasar Kosavad Lechacham. That he gives us a very, very general kind of a statement. And it's not clear which particular activities fall under those categories. But one, and it was given to Chazal to be Keveya, these kinds of activities are part of that tsura of X, Y, and Z. And these kind of activities are not really. Once Chazal is Keveya, what is and what's not, then that becomes deraisas. It's a very, very funny kind of thing. Normally we think, if Chazal make up something, that's the Rabbanan. Here Chazal is making up something. Chazal is being Mishayer, that this is part of the general picture of what the Torah wanted us to avoid, even though the specifics were not given to Meshav. Like Moshe Rabbeinu the Bedoyma, there's a famous example. The Torah says, "Hosem lo seleichu." You're not supposed to imitate the Goyim. So this issue of imitating the Goyim, it wasn't given to Meshav Benin by saying that you're allowed to wear a sweater, you're allowed to wear a tie, but you're not allowed to go to a stadium. I don't know, whatever the different, whatever you think Israel is not. I didn't say that Israel is not. I'm just saying that's what I should say. So you're allowed to go to the horse races, you're not allowed to go to chariot races, you're allowed to go to a football game, you're not allowed to go to a baseball game. It wasn't set to Meshav Benin exactly what it was not. So Chazal Mishayer, that the basic picture, the basic tzura is, not to get all sucked up into all the Goyish culture and all the things that are going on around the world. So certain things are considered to be too close for comfort. Back to, I think this was the second of the Sukkot Shiurim. Every year my shul, so we don't call it Sukkot Shiurim. I refuse to write on the announcements of Sukkot Bol Shir. We want to give Hashivas. We just say it's a special Sunday Shir. So everybody knows the middle of February is a special Sunday Shir. Anyone who wants to come, you're welcome to come. We got good stuff. We have it's really good because all the stores have these big sales on, just by some strange reason, because I'm giving a Shir, so they're giving sales on the wings and stuff. So we have as good as any other party you can go to, but it's a special night of Limanat Torah in the shul. It's one of the things I'm Leon are most proud of my entire shul about, that we sometimes get more people for this Shia than we get on Shavuos night. It's one of the biggest highlights of the year. Guys come and they all sit and learn. And afterwards they all check the phones if what they missed. But nothing. Okay. No. The Shia begins not because the Shia starts at 8 o'clock. Okay, that's right smack in the middle of the Also Halayla, Bachati Halayla. So it starts at 8 o'clock, and it goes until we daven Maariv. So those who get big thrills out of watching the first quarter because of that. But it's for the... Okay, anyway. So bottom line is, I think it was the second year of the show. I remember, I always try to give something that's relevant to Inyan HaDiyayimah. So the first year I gave a shiur about gambling. About the smach kind of betting on games, so it takes about 3 seconds to say it's all certain finish. Okay, but I'm going to give an hour show on the topic, and then the second year I gave on the parameters of b'chusam l'shalechu, because one of the examples that the Torah's Kohanim says about b'chusam l'shalechu is not to go to stadiums; it's the din of the karkasios. So we quoted a big machlekes rishon and what that means was that is that because stam because it's a goyish thing, or is it because of those activities were always associated with the Avodah Zarah, the days of the Greeks, those were Mamash Avodah Zarah festivals. It means there were things that the things that were very antithetical to Torah. So it wasn't the fact that it was just goyish per se, but because of the activity. So the Machlekes Rishonim, Mamash Machlekes Rishonim. So we remember that according to some Rishonim, as long as they're not feeding the gladiators to the lions, so then you're allowed to go watch. And as long as nobody's doing any main of a desire there, so you're allowed to go watch. And according to other Rishonim, just the fact that it's a non-Jewish form of cultural entertainment, that in of itself is a problem. We remember that the Minhag seems to be lahakam. So we most people are most people today. Make on that Shaila. We'll leave it at that. Anyway, but we spoke a lot about Hagdar B'chusam L'Shalechu. So what exactly does that mean? So here you have some activities, also some activities, but it's very unclear. So this is what the Chazal used the phrase, B'sura Kos L'Chacham. So many of you shared him right, B'Hilchos Chol HaMoed, the same part, that this is not like Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Torah just says that Chol HaMoed's got to be different from the rest of the year. It says, It's called a Yom Kaddish. It's called a Chag. It's called Zman Simchaseinu, the entire week. Zman Chaseinu, the entire week. So obviously there's something special in the air. So for a person to do business as usual, that would be a flagrant violation of what the Torah is trying to depict what it's supposed to be. So how do you know what year what? No. So one of the key elements that the Chazal used when they discussed Hilchos Chol HaMoed is that things that enhance the yontif are mutter. Things that detract from the yontif are generally also. So let's say echol nefesh is mutter. Or things that are l'tzorech hayom, if it's a tamed down, toned down, like it's a ma'aseh hedyo, you know, Latzach HaYom is okay. So the Ritva writes, Meseches Mekot, and that's the reason why the Dover Ovid is brought to wine. Because imagine the following. A guy sitting in his sukkah and he's enjoying geshmak and everything, and someone comes and tells him, oh, by the way, sir, your field, you're about to suffer $100,000 of loss in your field if you don't quickly go get it irrigated. So how do you think that's going to impact his yontif if he doesn't get it irrigated? Probably going to ruin his yontif. So says the Ritva, the reason why Dover Ovid is mutter is because that's gufa going to help your yontif. Because even you're dealing with Shabbos and Yom Tov, where the Issa Malach is an Issa Bifin Atzma, Malach, Malach, Malach. What can I do? All the money in the world. I can't buy the Issa Dirai. So here, the whole vort of the Issa Malach is to give it Chashifas of Yom Tov, to give it a Yom Simcha, to give it a Yom Chag. So Gufa, by going to do your Dover Ovid, will help you enjoy the Yom Tov better. So I state the favorite, which is the Ritva. So there's a head of Dover Ovid. That's what the Mishnah spells out. In my Kotan, let's say, for example, I have to lend your money. You asked me to lend your money. I lend your money. And we're not going to write a document. So it's a Dover Ovid. I'm afraid I would never get my money back. So I could be very, very nervous. I could be very, very uptight. The whole yontif, I'm going to get my $10,000 back. I don't have a document. So Chazal said, you're allowed to write a shtar because it's the Dover Ovid. Certain things you're allowed to write if they're Dover Ovids. What if it's not a Dover Ovid? So you're not allowed to write it. Not allowed to write a Cholomai. So comes the Ramah. In Uchus Cholomai, it has a big, big break. It says the Ramah, writing is not worse than any other malacha. The basic klal, the Gemara Ma'akotin says, is that you're not really allowed to do any malachas on Chol HaMoed unless it's a ma'ase hedyo l'tzorach hayom. If it's going to enhance the yontif a little bit, and it's a ma'ase hedyo, it's a very unprofessional kind of a thing, so then you're allowed to do it. If it's a davar ovid, even ma'ase umen is mutter. If it's echol nefesh, even ma'ase umen is mutter. But even if it's not echol nefesh, it's not Dover Ovid, it's going to help me a little bit on Yom, make my Yom a little bit nicer. So the Baisa Hedge as well, that's in the Moshe, that's what the Gemara says. Let's say a guy ripped his clothing or something, so he's going to walk around with a ripped shirt. He only has one shirt. So what can he do? So he can't go to professionally to a tail and have it mamish, you know, sewn up, even to a goy. I mean, really, Akamar Chol HaMoed as well. So you can't have it done professionally. You can do it up to a half-baked stitch. It's a backwards kind of a stitch, a ma'aseh hedyot kind of a thing. It's the tzarech hamoed. It's going to enhance your yontif a little bit. That's the general clause. Says the Ramah, writing is no different than that. So why does the Mishnah come down so hard on writing? Mishnah says, elukais v'moed, you're not allowed to write in chol hamoed. So the Ramah says, because the writing in the days of Chazal, who wrote? The seferim, the calligraphers, everything was fancy, kind of a professional kind of writings. So ma'aseh uman is pretty much usur, unless... it's what? Unless it's Dover Ovid. That's what the Mishnah says. But says the Ramah, what if a guy's just taking a pencil and just scribbling a little bit? So my said, yeah, any Tom to get Aaron could do that. So says the Ramah, then it depends. If it's not Letzorech HaYom, then it's a problem. If it's Letzorech HaYom, then it's okay. That's a famous, famous kul of the Ramah. That Me'ik, Me'ik, Radin, you're really allowed to write on Chol HaMoed if what you're doing is a very unprofessional kind of write. Anybody can write this way. And it's Letzorech HaYom. If there's no Letzorech HaYom, then it's for sure a problem. So I remember years ago, also want to date ourselves back. This is not back to the 60s. This is back to the early 80s. You guys probably don't remember this either. I'm sure Mr. Alter fondly remembers this. When you used to go bowling, okay? So this was a typical Chol HaMoed trip to the bowling alley, right? You bowl the ball, and then you have absolutely no idea how many pins fell down. Not a clue. It wasn't computerized. So the only way to figure out how many pins fell down is you had to look at it and see. So you always had the five machlokes would break out. One guy would say, yeah, from this angle, oh, looks like there are 8 pins down. They were saying, I think there are 3 pins down. And that was, most of the day was fighting over how many pins fell down. There was absolutely no way of knowing this, short of walking down the aisle and falling flat on your face and figuring it out. So I went bowling for many, many, many years before computerized lanes. I remember I told this over in a shiur once in the shul. So my father-in-law once, in the middle of the shiur, he said, no, Tzvi, come on. He said, you were talking about you didn't have computerized lanes. I remember when you had to what? You had to go set up your own pins. And there was an old man in the shul at the time, passed away since then, Mr. Kirshner. So he said, I remember. You had to go bring back your own ball. He said. So anyway. Yeah, Mr. Krishna Mashal, he's old. You remember him from, you still remember him from the shul? Remember Zachary, Mr. Krishna? It's the early years of the shul. So, he used to always tell me what it was like in the good old days when he would go for a nickel, go to Yankee Stadium and watch Lou Gehrig play. back to the 30s. Okay, anyway. I remember one year I went bowling on Chol Hamoed with Rabbi Willig. Why did I go to Rabbi Willig bowling Chol Hamoed? Because I was the head of the Young Israel Youth Department. The Young Israel Youth Department consisted of any kid whose last name was Willig at the time. So I basically was me and Rabbi Willig's kids. We were the youth department. So I, Chol Hamoed was one of our annual trips. So one year we went bowling. Rabbi Willig, I think I didn't even have a driver's license. I was a teenager then. So Rabbi Willig drove us there. And then Imkar Asper, he was ready there. So he came in and bowled a game with us also. So I remember he was keeping score. So I remember I asked him, you know, why is it mutter? I said, why is it mutter to write down the score? So he said, it's a ma'aseh l'tzor chayoyim. He said, it's going to be a miserable game. No one keeps score. What kind of silly game is that? No one's going to know who won. So that's the, it enhances the simchas chayoyim to keep score. And it's a ma'aseh. I think Tom DeKinari can do it. So we used to keep score playing ball. Okay, good. Back to this story. So this was a real shiloh back in the 60s, the 70s, 80s, the early years. Are you allowed to take a picture on Chol Hamoed? What's it do? Allowed to snap a camera on Chol Hamoed? What's the halacha? So at the time, many poskim said, it depends on, believe it or not, getting off your Tesla base. If you're like Rashi, that something that's legamre, not visible, is what? It's legamre naksav, not even the latest asafik. The latest asafik of Rashi is maybe it's visible. This, I guarantee you, it's not visible at all. So you just simply press the button and do anything. It's meaningless. So that's like what case according to Rashi. It should be mut legamre on Chol Hamoed. According to Rabbeinu Kreskes, what's it in? Safik. Safik Chol Hamoed. What's it in? Safik Melacha Chol Hamoed. It's Melacha Yisrash Baram Rabbeinu Tam. If you hold that Melacha Chol Hamoed is Darabanan, like Rabbeinu Tam, then Safik should be Lekula. If you hold the Rash Baram, then it's the Rais, then Safik should be Lechumr. If you hold like Rabbeinu Chananel, it's a Vada Kaysev. So it's a Vada Yisagomri. Vada is the Rais, Vada is the Darabanan. Let's say I took the picture ready. I want to develop the picture on Chol Hamoed. So it's the flip shilas, right? Everything becomes flipped. Even a day goy is not so pashut. Yeah, whatever I'm not going to do, a goy is not going to do. So maybe one could argue that taking pictures on Chol Hamoed is mutter. You know why? So it's the Tzorech Hayom. What's going to be the Tzorech Hayom? This gets very tricky. What's the Tzorech Hayom?
You'll look back more fondly on the day.
Well, it depends when I get the pictures back. If I get the pictures back on Chol Hamoed itself, it's going to be beautiful, right? It's going to be the last day Yontif, when Bubby and Zaidi come for Yontif, see all the Einiklach, you know, they really enjoy, Geschmack, they'll sit and look at all the beautiful pictures and laugh. And this is, again, before phones, guys, this is like, this is the 70s. This is way before phones. I mean, we had phones that were connected to the wall, but that was about all we had. So, the taking of the picture, is that potentially be Litzar Chayom? What's the problem? This gets very tricky. I said, Hedjit Maisa Uman. What do you think? Everyone knows how to press a button, but what does everyone not know how to do? Most guys, except for these guys over here, know, I wouldn't even know what to put it into. So, developing film is not a Maisa Hedjit by any stretch of the imagination. You gotta be a real science buff to know how to do this.
That's not the
tzibah,
though.
Wait, or is it?
Right. So,
so I want to take the picture first in Chol Hamoed, send it to Velvet Express. You know, in the old days, it took more than a month. But I'll be back by Hashan Rab. It'll be back in 3 days. Very expensive. Pay $100 for expedited passport, expedited pictures of the Enochluch and the Bronx Zoo. Okay? So I only on what day? Only on Wednesdays when it's free. Okay? So I pressed. Ever noticed which day? If you have 10 kids, you are not going to the day where they charge you. Anyway, okay, fine. So the...
He's still charging on Wednesday.
Okay, relax. Okay. That really was not the main part of it. So I pressed the button. So the chover, the pressing the button is the Maisa Hedjit. Any time you get any nikabuk, we figure out how to press a button. But the developing the film is the problem. But catch this one. If you hold that the pressing of the button is the malacha, so then the malacha is the Maisa Hedjit. When the guy goes ahead in Walgreens and develops the film, so he's not doing anything. So it comes out according to Rabbeinu Chananel, when I press the button, so I did malacha, but what? But that was a Maisa Hedjit. When the guy does the Uman part, he's doing a non-malacha. So I got a maisa umun, I got a maisa hedrit with malacha and a maisa umun with a nothing. So that should probably be mutter. What about according to Rashi? According to Rashi, the malacha is nikwa al shem what? Taking the picture is not the malacha. What's the malacha?
The end part
is developing, which is a maisa umun, even though it's being done at degoy, but Amir Lachman is also in cholamayid. And all the tzarech of all the bubbies and zadies were crying for the pictures of the end, it's not going to help because it's a maisa umun. According to Rabbeinu Kreskes, so we don't know what the answer is. It's a suffix. We don't know exactly when the moment of truth is. So if the moment of truth is the developing, and that's the Maisa Uman, then there's no heter of Tzarech Hayoim. That's a suffix. So that'll fight to be totally on the Bechagis Mesh Baram Rabbeinu Tam. It's suffix. That's a lomdish, a lomdish, a shayla. Wow. Now, all of a sudden, came along Kodak, the Gewaltige Wort. This is like the biggest breakthrough in technology in taking your pictures back to the 1960s. Remember this was older? It's an unbelievable thing. You no longer had to send it to develop. It happened on the camera itself. You press the button, and this little thing comes out, remember? And all of a sudden, it put the potassium, something or other, all over that. In 30, you had to wait like a minute or so,
yeah.
And it developed the picture. So that's not good for us, for Chol Moed. Why? Because whichever part happened, I did. Once Polaroid comes. Now they were Mahabich Zayn. And now it becomes a Maisa Hedyot. Now you're assuming that the definition of Maisa Hedyot means anything that any Tom, Dick, and Harry can do. Right? So that's what I thought the definition is also. And therefore, not just me, but great Rechavim thought that even when the Polaroids came out and people wanted to ask for the Polaroids because of a picture, no, not so Pashut. So what Pashut? Maybe it's Mutter because once it becomes, anybody can do it. Not everyone can afford the Polaroid, but everyone can afford the Polaroid, instant cameras, instant in 10 minutes, so that it becomes a Maisa Hedyot. Okay, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, he says no. I'm not sure that Polaroids are called the Maisa Hedyot. Anyone can do it. Says Rabbi Yaakov. The line of demarcation between Maisa Hedyot and Maisa Uman may not be the way it sounds, that anyone can do it or special skilled people can do it. That the real kivea is this a very expertise kind of a look? Does it come across looking like this is a real good job? A job well done. So if you look at all the cases in the Gemara, all the Maisa Hedyots are when a guy who doesn't know how to sew, he ends up sewing it so the stitches are off base. So instead of making straight stitches, they look at it's a flag, it's crooked stitches. All the Maisa Hedyots examples are, you look at it and you see that some amateur didn't know what he was doing did it. That's what Maisa Hedyot. Says Rabbi Yaakov, Hedyot and Umun's, catch this one. It's not the Siba, it's the what? It's like the Simon. An Umun generally does a really nice looking job, and a Hedyot generally does a sloppy job. Once Polaroid came up with this high tech in the early 1970s that any Tom, Dick, and Harry can look like a professional photographer now. So it looks perfect, it looks beautiful. It doesn't look like a shabby job, it's a beautiful job. Gewalt geschrigen, what we thought was a Maisa Hedyot, now became transformed to become a Maisa Umun. So now, if Rav Yaakov's right, not everyone agreed to it, but if Rav Yaakov's right, then you're pressing the button, which does two things. It snaps the picture and then develops the picture. So, Mamonoshach, you did a Maisa Umun at some, I don't know when you did it. I'm not sure if you did it at the beginning or at the end.
So typing would be worse, maybe, than writing.
Type?
Like on a computer.
We were still in the 60s, okay? There were no computers yet, all right? Except for United States, the Pentagon, no one has computers, okay? So there's a lot of tumult about this. The post came, the right pictures, it wasn't so posh at all. I remember once a guy showed me, he was showing me some picture album of his, and as I'm looking, there's a few pages, all the pictures are slanted. They're all off a little bit. He told me he was mocking to take pictures with the shimmy. He held the camera. I'm not sure what helps in that. Anyway, so Rabbi Sai, this discussion came to an absolute end in what year? The minute that people stopped taking pictures. And then everyone take everything is digital. So now we have to go back to the Shiloh. Is digital, is that called Kaisev? So most poskim, many poskim assume anything and everything that digital is devarim b'talim. It happens to also be true. Most things that digital are devarim b'talim. That's not crazy b'chol. I have a phrase for digital writing. It's a phrase we actually saw in a Rashi in the sugya of Vanir Shali. Remember? How is it given Vanir Shali? Why is it no good according to Rashi? Oh, you see, so what? Peches ba'avir, as we sang, didn't we mention, make mention, like, what, in the wind?
Dust.
Like, get in the wind. All the letters are just dust in the wind. So that it doesn't register. There's nothing here. Look at Kesef.
It's in the cloud.
It's not Ksav, it's Mon. It's not Ksav. That's an unbelievable kula. If that's the case, then on Chol HaMoed, you can do whatever you want if it's quote unquote digital. You're writing on your, I didn't say printing, I didn't say, you're simply writing on a computer screen. It's not a mice, it's not Kai safe. Now, I did not say that you could do that in Shabbos and Yontif. You did not hear that here. Okay? Because in Shabbos and Yontif, there are a whole slew of other issues involved. All electricity is problematic in Shabbos and Yontif for a variety of reasons, whether it's Machmapatish, whether it's Baina, whether it's Baina, whatever deraisa, whatever you think electricity is, there's nobody who says that electricity is mutter in Shabbos and Yontif. That's it. I mean, Yontif was a funny thing with the lights. That was a long time ago, but that's a different story. Nothing else. Shabbos, it's L'Oil Adas. Nobody of any stature, of any Psach Halacha in the last 200 years has ever said, or 150 years, has ever said electricity is mutter on Shabbos. Why it's usher? So you've had a whole array of different opinions as to what it is, but some people have a phrase that, Ilu bas kol yotzim in the Shemayim, that it's usher, and we're just trying to figure out why it's usher. That's what, there was never a shadow that's usher. But that, those yisurim of electricity, whatever they are, may not necessarily apply to Chol HaMoed. For a technical reason, because Chol HaMoed, they may not be bound to Chol HaMoed. If that's the case, so then one could argue that, quote unquote, writing on a computer screen on Chol HaMoed may be mutal lagamrei. If it's not kosev, and it's just some other kinds of assorted issues that may not apply to Chol HaMoed for technical reasons, so then it could be that's totally mutter. That's an important kula that many people follow. That again, there's probably a legitimate kula that many people follow. It could have some serious ramifications. Lefiani is daiti that one of the corollaries of that statement that osius that are in computers are not really osius. So we have a. When you look at letters, so they make you smart. Just the letters, they permeate. So when you look at the computer screen, it doesn't make you smart. You don't have that haftacha of Oisius Bachimos. So that was actually borne out by some research studies. I know there have been a lot of research studies recently that have pointed out that when people take notes on computers, so it's not as good as writing with a pen and paper. I'm not discouraging them taking notes on computers. I'm telling you, if you want to know that, am I correct that there have been some studies recently? It's just not the same. The way the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wired the brain, we were wired to write with paper and pen. We weren't wired by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to write with computers. It's just this is an interesting tidbit of information in case you're interested, in case anyone's interested in that piece of information. Anyway, so everybody says, so what have we learned so far? So we learned the first part of the sugya. So we learned the first half. It's all the Gemara. It's in favor. Everything we talked about today is Mamish is black and white, literally, either it's on the paper or inside the paper, somewhere on the Fiyotas Masechet Kitzur. But now we have to move on, hopefully from tomorrow, to a whole other dimension of the sugya, where you have letters that are here, but it's not that they're inside the paper that's not enabling us to see them. The letters are on the paper, it's just some ninkapoop put something on top of them, such as shavas, wax. That's the case that we're going to hopefully begin to discuss tomorrow. How does that play out in terms of the definition of ksiv? And that's going to become a loaded question. Then eventually we'll try to circle back to see are these two shilas really identical, or is there perhaps chilukim between them? Try to iron out the details of the sugya of ksav shel nir. Hopefully, we'll continue the sugya. Did you
start off
with
Rashi